We're going to discuss something that is an old one. We've covered in the past, but I know a lot of guys want to. We have new people to the group, and I want to add some things into them. And this is really going to be specifically for New Jersey guys, law enforcement, and girls, law enforcement officers who are in the group. And I'll give you guys some real good stuff. They're just real basic case law and court rules that will help you make some better decisions in day-to-day police functions. Been off for a couple of days, but back and going to give you guys some really good stuff. Let's talk about the enumerated offenses in New Jersey. We know that there are Let's go right off my PowerPoint. We're going to talk about the same stuff in class. Shoplifting, theft of library materials, domestic violence. We know Anti-Piracy Act has gone to a fourth degree now. Drunk driving and suspect's admission. So what does that mean? Well, for a disorderly or petty disorderly person's offense, for the guys who are out of state, this would be a misdemeanor. But in New Jersey, they're called petty and disorderly person's offenses. Petty disorderly person's offenses and disorderly person's offenses. That's what I meant. So we don't have actually the term felony and misdemeanor in New Jersey. But for those, you actually have to, just like everywhere else that I've worked and that I've spoken to, you have to have an in-presence requirement. You couldn't make a formal arrest of somebody if you did not witness this firsthand as a police officer, okay? However, what happens at the point where you have somebody who admits that they committed the act and you weren't there? So suspect's admission brings the offense within the presence of the officer. So if you have somebody who's making an admission to you that an offense occurred within your jurisdiction prior to your arrival that you didn't see, but they said that, yeah, I did this, you can physically make an arrest on that person. So let me read a few things to you, and then we'll go into some more detail beyond that and go into a whole other topic and what you can do, even if you don't have somebody's admission, but you have enough probable cause to believe that the offense has taken place. Then we go into defendant's admission brings offense within the presence of the officer. You got to see Bauer versus Borough Cliffside Park. I'll add that in the notes to this video. And it says the court held that the defendant's admission to a police officer of the facts making up the offense alleged will satisfy the requirement that the disorderly offense occurred in the officer's presence. Most commonly, the presence requirement is satisfied by an officer's directly viewing or seeing the offense occur, even if the officer uses a telescope or binoculars. Now, a videotape alone, again, does not satisfy the in-presence requirement to make a formal arrest. So let's say, let me give the example I use in class. We get called to a nightclub in the town that I worked in. It's 2:30 in the morning, and then it's an assault call, right? So we go there, and the guy comes out, and he's like, oh, I was assaulted by the staff here. I was beat up, blah, blah, blah. It kind of sounds like it's bullshit. We go inside, we talk to the staff, and I'm like, hey, what happened here? And they're like, oh, look, this guy, he was a patron here for a while. We've been warning him that he would get thrown out. We tried to tell him to leave. He turned around and punched one of the bouncers in the face. Now, the bouncer he punched him in the face. He had a black eye, not swollen shut, where it's going to have temporary blindness and evoke aggravated assault in New Jersey. But just a black eye, right? The guy could see out of it. He wasn't going to the hospital. He just got a black eye, got punched in the face. Happens. So we went and looked at the video, and sure enough, the guy who actually reported the crime that he was beat up by the bouncers was the offender. So in the video, it showed him unprovoked punching the bouncer in the face. Now, when I go back out to speak to him again, I'm like, hey, did you hit this guy in the face? Your story's not making sense of what I saw on camera. And he's like, now he's playing dumb. Now, can I formally arrest him and put him in handcuffs and take him in for simple assault? No, because I wasn't there. And the videotape alone for the disorderly person's offense of simple assault is not going to allow me to do that. But what I did do is I took out my township ordinance book, which you guys know of, but it's also called a special form and complaint summons. And we literally wrote 2C12-1A on that special form of complaint summons and issued to him for simple assault. Now, we did the incident report. We took the video for evidence, and he was charged with simple assault. You could have done the same thing if you would have back to headquarters, taken his information and typed up a CDR-1 or CDR-2. I think it's CDR-1's a summons. I could be wrong. I just forget which one's which. And you could have mailed it to him at his residence or wherever it would have been. Instead, I just wrote it to him right there on the street. Eventually, your court's going to take that and put that into the system, but you're actually allowed to issue those summonses. Now, with Bail Reform Act, I know things have changed for a lot of places. Some guys have told me that their county prosecutor, to avoid frequency of them being bothered for summons complaints, has authorized them to use these more frequently. And some places it's been restricted. Now, I'll let you know, you need to check with your agency before you employ these things and check with your court system as well. You can use them under certain circumstances. I'm going to go into that right now. So, you know, your TO book that you like write loud noise complaints on, it generally wasn't designed for that. It was designed to issue, I mean, I guess that's part of it too, but it was designed to be able to issue disorderly, petty, disorderly offenses. I'm going to tell you what you can write on these things, right? Disorderly and petty disorderly offenses, except those involving domestic violence, those with companion indictable matter. So if you have somebody who has an indictable offense, you can't write that and put it all on a summons. Local ordinance violations, you can't have any DV as well. I think it just said that, but you can't like go to a DV and you're going to charge a guy with simple assault and you're going to give him a summons to tell him to take a take a hike. You can't do that. Code enforcement actions, penalty enforcement actions, boating offenses, and parking and traffic offenses where a private citizen is the complainant. You ever have an accident where you didn't write somebody a summons, but the other guy came in and he starts writing summonses to the other guy or the other person involved in the accident because they felt like, you know, they wanted to really hammer them home, make sure they weren't going to get be found at fault for their accident. So these things were used very frequently. I would implore you, if you're allowed to use them, it's a good tool. At that point, when we started using them and employing them correctly and everybody was using them, we'd go to fight calls, we'd have PC to believe somebody did something, although we didn't see it. If we had witnesses, we would write an incident report, take those summonses out and make sure we issue those summons. As a matter of fact, at a certain point, and again, you have to check on this now with the with your court rules and what they'll let you to do. This is, we were, I mean, anybody who was under 50 and under an ounce, we were literally just penning them out of summons on the side of the road, taking the CDS, putting it into a property sheet. And the question is, when would they get fingerprinted and be back after their course was after their court case was adjudicated? So really good tool to use. If you don't think people are using, there's a lot of guys, if you anybody watching this video can chime in. A lot of agencies using these, obviously shore towns. These are big for the shore towns. And where the case comes from is actually at a Long Branch, right? It's I'm going to right now. It's State versus Dangerfield 2002. And this allowed this is the case that allowed officers to issue special complaint summonses on the spot and allow the defendant to leave the scene. Provides officers with the discretion on making an arrest or issuing a summons for a minor offense. DWI with minor in a vehicle on a short sheet. DWI with a minor in a vehicle on a short sheet. You're saying you're putting that on? You're putting DWI with a minor in a vehicle? I don't know. Is that a DP? I don't know off the top of my head, dude. I can't imagine it's a DP. As Mike just chimed in there. But anyway, it was intended to reduce the frequency of custodial arrests for petty offenses. This allows the officer to charge without having to arrest. However, it does not hinder the officer's authority to arrest for such offenses. And you guys must know there is no search incident to summons. So if you, it's DP, no shit. How about that? So if you're gonna issue somebody a summons, before you say, I'm gonna issue a summons and you wanna search them because they are arrestable, outside of the point where maybe you can't arrest them or they're not searchable, you know, like in the situation I just described before with that guy punching the bouncer. But if they are arrestable and you're like, you know, we're not going to take this guy in on this bullshit, let's just issue a summons. Before you say that, you may want to check and make sure, because you have the authority to make the arrest. I'm telling you that technically if you're going to issue a summons, you can't do that. But maybe you made the decision to write the summons after you did the search. All right. Obviously, if you find something, you're not going to be able to issue a summons for both things. You're going to have to make the formal arrest at that point because that was your mindset. And basically, I'm just going to read a little piece out of the court ruling. I'll put this up on this video as well. You can read it. And in State versus Dangerfield, it said, through its rulemaking authority, the court in Dangerfield amended Rule 34-1A1 and inferentially Rule 731B1 to provide that if a person is arrested for a disorderly or petty disorderly person's offense committed in the officer's presence, the officer, in the exercise of his or her discretion, may issue a summons and complaint in lieu of taking the suspect directly to the station for a station house for booking. In the Supreme Court's view, this rule modification should diminish the frequency of custodial arrests for such minor offenses and therefore reduce as well as the frequency of searches related to such arrests. So really, shore towns, you guys on here, the guys, the people that we know in those shore towns, Belmar, Point Pleasant, you guys use these things all the time, right? I mean, Christ, what's going on? You don't have enough of a force, Asbury Park, all these towns. You're going to have to use these summons. Every time we have the class, guys are like, oh, yeah, we use these things like they're going out of style. So before, you know, again, just check with your agency, make sure you guys can use them before employing them. When I first found that, I went to a superior and I said, hey, why aren't we using these things? And he said, you can. And I said, okay, cool. Gave us the blessing. He was the big boss. And just start employing them a lot. If you guys have any questions about that, reach out to me. You can send me a message here on Facebook. For the future, if you can email me, if it's easier for you to do that, dennis@streetcoptraining.com. I will get back to you guys and we'll address stuff. I'm going to try to address stuff here on the videos and the live videos to make sure that everybody's getting what they, I want everybody to learn from other people's questions. Because if one person has a question, that means 100 other people have the question. Also, we just added some Bergen County dates coming up in 2018. January will be in Bergen County. For the guys who are watching from Bergen County, be in January. What if it's 16th and 17th Bergen County Police Academy. We'll be in the Hall of Heroes. Obviously, we get over 100 guys per class. It's the only room there that will hold us. But if you want to know, a lot of guys write in like, hey, when's your next training coming up? We can't do APB net messages anymore, or track messages. You can just check on streetcoptraining.com. As we schedule classes, we put everything on there. And if you guys need anything from me, reach out. I should be back here tomorrow. No problem. See you guys.